Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, August 4th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Carbonite. Backing up the files on your PC or Mac is safe and easy with Carbonite. For a free trial plus 2 free months with purchase, go to Carbonite.com. Offer code TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Becky Worley.
Behind the board today is our photorealistic producer, Jammer B.
Hello.
He looks just like he does in pictures. Thanks for filling in. Eric's doing some other editing this morning, so we got Jammer B filling in. And also joining us, I'm very excited, comedian Heather Gold is here.
Hey, Tom. Becky, it's my pleasure to be here. And Jammer B, back with Jammer B again.
It's fun to have you. And, of course, you're in town. You're doing an event here in the San Francisco area, right?
Yeah, I'm doing a tutorial and a talk for BACHI, Computer-Human Interface Group, this Saturday down in San Mateo, BACHI.org. And I'm doing some comedy. Little workshop. You can see it all at heathergold.com.
Excellent. Well, we got some news to kick around today. Of course, we mentioned earlier this week that the United Arab Emirates was looking at banning some of the BlackBerry functions on BlackBerries in their country, and there was a rumor that Saudi Arabia would do the same thing. It is now for sure. Saudi Arabia's telecoms watchdog called on telecom firms in the country to block the messenger function on BlackBerry handsets from this Friday, starting Friday. So they're beating all of them. Saudi Arabia will be the first ones to take this to a test against RIM.
And we decided instead of weighing in on this ourselves, we're going to let our viewers and our listeners weigh in. So I'm going to give you a little bit of context from Muhammad Iqbal. He wrote in, you stated that BlackBerries are banned in the UAE and possibly now certainly in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And he says, this is not true. The BlackBerry Messenger and the native BlackBerry browser apps have been blocked because RIM will not allow the Ministry of Communications to store data sent from and to the UAE to remain in the country, which would in effect allow the UAE to access the information in times of crisis with the consent of RIM. That's exactly what RIM is against. And then he points out why this is happening. He says, recently a group of Mossad operatives entered the Emirate of Dubai with forged passports, assassinated a Palestinian leader, and then while in the UAE, the operatives used prepaid BlackBerries to communicate with each other. Then, when they learned about this, the government requested from RIM the information. RIM cited privacy and legal concerns. And that's how this all started. And he said he wanted to point out this kind of context. And he's been reading many articles on how the UAE and the region in general is tech phobic. And he says for a tech geek living here, and he calls it yabba dabba do, these are not kind words to hear. So I thought that was really interesting to hear from someone who was in the region and had their own perspective on the backstory behind this.
And we also got another email from someone in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Heather, you have that one, right?
Yeah, this one's from Catherine, the political scientist. I love that you guys are getting these right from your audience. Hi, Tom and crew. I'm still coming down off a year of researching the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and something about the, quote, Gulf states barring features of the BlackBerry for national security reasons wasn't ringing right. So here's my conspiracy theory. As you may know, men and women in Saudi society do not mingle at all unless they're related by blood. And this is part of the invention. I was going to explain this is part of Islam. Pretty observant Islam. The invention and widespread adoption of cell phones has made it easier for young men and women to get around Saudi law. Young men slipping their phone numbers to women in secret or holding up their numbers at stoplights. Hey, catch you later, hot stuff. Remember that Mr. Microphone ad?
Be back to pick you up later.
right. Well, this kind of mixing of the sexes has posed a real legal problem for the Saudis because it's hard to crack down on, and illicit relationships carried out solely through text messaging and phone calls have occasionally ended very badly. Exempli gratis, the horrible rape case. There's a link to that. I don't know if you guys will if you'll put that up, Jammer B. The crime Saudi Arabia would like to prevent by turning off the messenger function is the crime of men and women talking freely to one another. And while the UAE and Kuwait are less restrictive societies and may genuinely have security concerns about BlackBerry products, but Saudi Arabia has a lot of clout in the Arabian Peninsula, and it wouldn't surprise me if this were really mostly about Saudi boys texting, hey, you look cute in your abaya. And she does this with you are. It's very sweet to Saudi girls.
Yeah.
Best regards. So that's an interesting.
Well, and it's a little bit borne out by Saudi Arabia only banning Messenger.
I love that it's a once you said function. I was like, what place bans a function?
Yeah.
Usually it's very overbroad.
There's 700,000 BlackBerry users in Saudi Arabia. So that's a chunk of users.
I know. It's like, what's interesting to me is I wonder how exciting secret dating is. I mean, it's like everyone's in the closet. It'd be very hot.
Yeah.
Literally, it's the temperature.
It's hot, and you're wearing that abaya, too. So, you know, actually, I think that's supposed to keep you cool from what I understand. But.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Haven't had the chance to go there.
Haven't put one
there.
On myself
either. I would go there and I would wear it and I would love to check out any other culture. It would be great.
Meanwhile,
I won't bring my BlackBerry Messenger function.
Just your BlackBerry with email and web until you go to Kuwait or the United Arab Emirates. Meanwhile, BlackBerry stepping aside, as is the iPhone, to hand over the crown in smartphone sales to Android. NPD's number crunchers just announced their Q2 2010 findings conclude that 33% of phones sold during that period had Android on board.
Yeah, BlackBerry following shortly behind, 28%, and then the iPhone, 22%. And remember, this isn't market share. This is just the number of phones sold in the last fiscal quarter. And there's a couple of interesting things to compare here. So Android, BlackBerry, iPhone, right? Well, if we actually look at the numbers of total market share, BlackBerry's still leading. Then it's iOS devices, so we're talking about iPhones, iPod Touches, and iPad, then Windows Mobile, and then Android. That's total market share. So Android rising, but doesn't own the class yet.
Back at the end of 2008, I made my predictions for 2009, and I said, in 2009, Android will outsell the iPhone.
And
I was totally wrong until now. I should have held that prediction for a year. I'm just going to start holding all my predictions. This has happened to me before. I'm just going to keep my predictions for a year.
You were just early on your early adoption.
So this year, at the end of this year, I'm going to do all the predictions I did at the end of last year again. And then I'll make my new predictions, but I'll just hold them. Like keep them in an envelope or something.
So you think Android's going to stay the top selling?
Well, I don't know. I have to wait till the end of the year and make my prediction, and then I'll be able to tell you what's going to happen in 2 years. But I don't remember what I said at the end of last year. That'd be the only way I could be accurate.
Well, I mean, the only thing really that matters is how smug you get to be is really the reason people do these predictions. I was saying, I think if someone hasn't built the site out there, anybody in the Twit Army, little market of when I said something first. Because if there's one thing I hear geeks, including me, pathetically say to each other occasionally, I said that back in blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
So now people need to start marking that up. I think we need to set the record straight because then we can keep track, Tom.
We don't have any privacy anyway. Everybody's logging everything we do. So at least we could get some benefit out of it,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
Also, something to think about with these numbers is that the iPhone is but two models being sold new. And Android has many, many models. So this is the worst news for RIM, who also has several models. You think that they would be looking at this and weeping the most.
You know, I think it's also interesting to compare the carrier stats. So, you know, okay, Android has 33%. Guess who else has 33%? Verizon sold 33% of all the phones that were going out there, followed by AT&T, who had a quarter, 25%, Sprint and T-Mobile. So I think this is really about finally Verizon having Droid phones that are really a compelling iPhone competitor.
Well, I've heard, isn't Verizon supposedly going to get the iPhone soon?
That's been the rumor for years. We're
never
still
ending.
Waiting.
Yep. Heather Gold said it first.
Yeah, I'm by the 100,000th for sure.
Put it on the website that you're developing right now, whoever it is that decided to do that.
Wish list. Well, I'm just wondering if you're just, I only brought it up, Becky, because you're saying the 33%, if that would change their percentage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I think, I really believe that the prediction that T-Mobile is going to get the iPhone first after AT&T, I think that's probably true. I think that'll bump up T-Mobile's numbers considerably. If they went to Verizon, boom, the scales would tip
around. I have mine on T-Mobile.
Hey, who's jailbroken?
So, you know, who needs a warranty? I don't need a warranty. I jailbroke my iPad, too, just for the heck of it.
You two rebels.
What gets a warranty when there's a ground that your iPhone could be dropped on?
Yeah, exactly. And they're going to find a way out of the warranty anyway.
I think there's going to be a new jailbroken tattoo. That's going to be the new really popular thing. It's like, jailbroken. Yeah, rebel.
This body is jailbroken. You can use me on any carrier. Let's move on to Intel and the Federal Trade Commission. That'll pour water on that conversation. They've settled their antitrust case, they announced today. FTC has put some restrictions on Intel and what they can do as far as the accused bundling that AMD was the most vocal about.
Yeah, basically, Intel said to hardware manufacturers, hey, if you only sell your computers with Intel processors, we're going to give you a sweet deal. So just nix AMD, or at least that's the allegation. This settlement with the FTC does not confirm or, you know, does not force Intel to confirm guilt in any way.
But settlements never do. Isn't the point of a settlement? Oh, we did nothing, but we did, you know, change our behavior, but not because we did anything.
Intel must extend its x86 license agreement with VIA for another 5 years beyond the expiration date. And they also must retain the use of the PCI Express interface. This is interesting because it makes sure that anybody who makes a graphic processor, a GPU, will have something that can plug into an Intel processor. They can't shut GPUs out of the market by getting rid of the PCI Express interface. So it's a little bit of the FTC preserving the GPU market for however much the next
FTC,
6 years.
FTC, known as the opposite of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, definitely NVIDIA was happy about this, AMD happy about this, and a lot of folks definitely saying, okay, finally. Intel has 80% of the market share, and AMD said, I'm just going to quote because this is interesting.
80?
I know, it's big, right? I didn't realize they had that much. But AMD says, our critical remaining concern was Intel's use of all-or-nothing discounts to deny competitors access to the marketplace. Mm. The FTC's order clearly and firmly prohibits such abuse and guarantees ongoing monitoring of Intel's conduct. But you got to hear this. This is great. Beautiful PR spin. Intel, on the other hand, Doug Melamed, their senior vice president and general counsel, said, this settlement enables us to put an end to the expense and distraction of the FTC litigation.
Yeah, distracting.
And stifle bus design. All in one go. All right, we got to take a quick break. This episode is brought to you by Carbonite, the leader in online backup. If you would like to avoid a disaster, and I know you would like to, then you should probably try out Carbonite. Carbonite allows you to back up your files without thinking. You don't have to stop and go, oh, wait, I have to back up my file. You may say, you know what? I've got a hard drive in my house and I got network attack storage. I'm going to use that. Use both. That's what I do because redundancy is a good thing. You have a cloud backup source in Carbonite, and then you can still have your network attached storage backup device. And that way you've got it in several places. The advantage you get from that is if you're not at your computer, you can actually get all your files because Carbonite allows you to access all of those backup files wherever you are. Works on PC and Mac. Now, it automatically backs up files. There are some files that you'll have to go in and specify specifically, some EXE files, some video files, but you can configure it the way you want. You can get the files on your iPhone or your BlackBerry with their free apps. So try it out for $55 a year. That's only 15 cents. In fact, you know what? Try it out for free. Go to Carbonite.com, enter the offer code TNT, and you can try it out for free. If you decide to keep the service, you'll get 2 months free with the offer code TNT, and then you'll only pay $55 a year. So check it out, Carbonite.com, offer code TNT. Ad spending is rocketing for Facebook. They're just making bank. Its spending on Facebook has gone up by tenfold or even 20-fold, depending on how you read this Business Week article.
Yeah, their COO, Sheryl Sandberg, says that companies that used to just be experimenting with Facebook are going big on spending for advertising. And they don't exactly say how much, but Business Week cites some sources who say it could be as much as $1.4 billion in 2010. That's a lot of change when you think that basically, the whole market is expected to be just $8.5 billion for all display advertising on the internet. You guys buying this?
Well, it's a big chunk of web advertising. The web advertising still is dwarfed by other kinds of mainstream advertising. My big question is, how much of the advertising is from Zynga?
Yeah.
It's because that's all you see when you're in Facebook? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, and I think they share some investors that can happen. You might want to follow the money into who is investing in whoever's advertising on Facebook, and did they also advertise on Facebook? Because that kind of around revenue booking. I'm only saying this because Facebook reminds me so much of AOL, you know, circa 1998 so often, And I just remember that happening because they were also the easiest ad buy. It makes sense that they've got the numbers that and the name recognition that make most ad buyers comfortable, I would think, Becky. So it makes sense that people are buying there. If it's effective, I have no idea. I don't know if you noticed the Wall Street Journal piece this week on the amount of money going into kind of privacy tracking and the amount of kind of buying of your data of your click stream. And I think that's probably increasing faster than this kind of display advertising.
And that's my big question about this Facebook advertising is there's no information about what the click-through rates are like. And I mean, I've done a little bit of dabbling in Facebook advertisement for my parents' business. Number one, it's insanely easy to make one of these ads. So it's really something it's so like hugely vertical in terms of big, huge Fortune 500 companies doing it and mom and pop businesses, literally in my case, making ads. So one, it's really easy to do, but I didn't see a ton a click-through from it, and I wonder, have you guys ever clicked on an ad from a Facebook page? I never have.
I make a point of trying to never even use Facebook Connect because I'm so annoyed by Facebook, but I may be kind of an ornery geek about that. They've never been almost ever relevant, and I have noticed that they'll give my wife ads that are relevant to me, so I think they are sharing data that way.
They know they know your relationship or something?
Well, you know, you've linked so-and-so to. I mean, why is my wife getting baby ads when I'm the one posting about babies and not her?
That's an interesting. So, well, I mean, there could be all kinds of third-party explanations, but it's something to...
just saying they're not super famous for being so careful about the privacy.
I'm going to click on an ad right now.
Do it. Do it. Make yourself
first
do it.
First one. Did
it. What is it? What's it an ad for?
Toyota. For safety. Because they need that.
That's what they're showing
they need
you?
To advertise. It was called, here's what's funny. It's called Everyone Deserves Safety. That's the headline. And I click on it. And
written
it goes,
in is it a Korean translated to English ad?
And then it goes to Toyota. No, it's all in English.
Deserves safety. You have to do a lot of work to deserve safety. The
all
rest
your
of you,
safety are belong to us.
Default, you're stuck playing, you know, in the scrum with Becky.
Yeah,
but
right?
if you deserve it, then you get out of that and maybe you're safe.
Well, you know, some of the most interesting ads I've seen on Facebook have been people who are advertising to find jobs. And so, like I have on my profile that I, you know, work for ABC, and I've gotten Facebook ads that say, I want to work at ABC Television. And I mean, that is pretty creative.
Yeah.
I don't know how widespread that is, but there are some interesting uses of the ads. But
I've heard anecdotal tales that those work, too, that a couple of people have gotten interviews, at least. Maybe not jobs, but they've gotten interviews from that.
Yeah.
There's a great story. I can't remember who I heard about. A guy wanted a creative director job, but he was very smart and targeted through Google Ads, and he only really wanted 6 people to respond. So he really targeted it so that when they Googled their own names, they would find him, which is much more intelligent, really, than the kind of Facebook general
Slatter.
Approach, like anybody in the world maybe knows somebody who works at ABC, you know, connect me. It was like, I'm going to make sure you see my portfolio, you 6 people, which I thought was really cool. So I'm curious, what is Facebook throwing at you? I've got IQ Maddox furniture. I'm definitely not clicking on that. Success, only a dream?
Only a dream until you click.
Like, why would I like an ad?
Yeah. So they can charge them more. Let's move on to a Financial Times report today, or actually yesterday, that Motorola and Verizon are working together to produce a tablet specifically for watching television content. So it's going to have a 10-inch screen, Android operating system. It'll have some of the other specs here. It's going to have Wi-Fi. It's going to have a 3G connection. But the big thing is it's going to stream Verizon's Fios cable service. Do you have Fios?
I live in Long Island where Fios rules, and I do have a little bit of Fios.
So imagine now that you have this tablet and you just can go anywhere you want and watch whatever it is you subscribe at home.
That's I can see that, you know, appealing to a lot of people, but I just would say it'll all come down to interface, you know, in the long run, and I think it's going to be hard to beat these people with the interfaces.
Yeah, Android operating system doesn't tell you anything about what interface will be on there for the television.
Because if it looks like the interface to the cable TV on Fios, you still won't be able to find anything on your tablet.
Or maybe they should just hire Hulu or somebody to come in and rebrand it.
You guys are missing the boat here. I mean,
what's the boat?
We missed it. What did we miss? I
sent Jammer B a link to something that I recalled from 2007 CES, which was the Verizon VCast TV phone. It was like
when they first started launching MediaFlow TV phones, right?
And this was their VCast phone, and this thing cracked me up. So imagine, a standard like a candy bar phone, mm-hmm. but then the top flips out like a sidekick, and it turns the phone into a T, and the top is the TV screen, and then there's a number pad right below it. So you guys are missing out on the fact that Verizon and this wireless TV, they're all over it since 2007,
guys. They've been doing this for years.
Yeah. Was that the same time when Cisco released their networked refrigerator? Because that's what that reminds me of.
I think Cisco released a networked refrigerator every year from like 1999 until last year. Like that, they just keep trying.
Do they not talk to civilians, people who they're forced to design this stuff for some of these companies? Because that's what you want, Becky, that phone. I mean... There's a lot of interesting stuff happening with the television and, internet connectivity. I'm mostly interested in, I think, Slavin's startup, which has got the name right. That they're building kind of social networking components to go with existing television programs. I mean, there'll be a lot of stuff going in this direction. Is that tablet the one? I don't know. I'm glad to have more tablets.
Yeah, well, it's going to be really interesting by the end of the fall to see what actually did launch of all these rumored tablets and if any of them gain any traction against the iPad.
They seem to be attached to media companies who are trying to figure out desperately how to stay alive, because I'm so sorry I can't remember the name of the tablet, but when I was at ReProbica, I was at a party where they showed the iPad with a European open source tablet that was coming out, and their entire launch model is attached to keeping magazines alive. Mm-hmm. It's also like, you'll be able to see the equivalent of, instead of FiOS programming, all the best, magazines in Europe. And that's sort of the way they were going to push their sales channel. And I don't know if the people who read those magazines or watch FiOS haven't heard of also Apple, then, maybe they're lucky.
You're also lucky if you work for the U.S. Marshals Service, because then you get to see everybody's body scan. Federal agencies have been defending body scan by saying that they will not store scanned images. Turns out U.S. Marshals Service admitted this week it had surreptitiously saved tens of thousands of images recorded with a millimeter wave system at the security checkpoint of a single Florida courthouse.
I'm on the Google right now, and I'm looking up the airport scanner porn.
Have you found a group?
It's pretty limited right now.
You could stake out that claim.
On there for that.
Look for hot millimeter wave pics.
There's a business waiting for you there, Becky.
Yeah, I like the backscatter images better.
They are better. They provide more anatomical detail. That's true.
Yeah,
the backscatter X-ray images versus the millimeter wave.
Okay. I know we're joking about this, but I have a few theories. One, I get it. I think for people who are body conscious, who are privacy aware, I have no sense of that, so I don't know what this is all about. But I mean, in terms of, I'm an exhibitionist or a person who lives out loud, whatever. I'll be getting naked in a few minutes. But my point is,
stay tuned.
That when you walk through the scanner and there's some guy on the side, kind of right there in real time, looking at your parts,
right.
That's a little weird. That's a little uncomfortable. But from the name of security, okay. But if there's some random weird like chalk drawing of my body that's on a hard drive somewhere, I could care less. Am I the only person in the world that thinks this?
That's put together and remixed? Are there CC licenses to these things? Because I'm thinking, what kind of animation are you making with all of these?
I think I want to know that this is happening and what's going to happen with it before I agree to walk through a security checkpoint. And I also shouldn't be subjected to a virtual strip search in order to go defend myself in court. So
when these scanners also are in courtrooms.
Yeah, this one that they found is they stored the images from the federal courthouse in Florida. So, I mean, I think it's all about making you aware of the choices you're making and giving you an option, and saying like, look, this is a body scanner. You're like Becky, you feel comfortable with this, proceed on through. If you don't, here's another line. It's going to take you longer. It's making what's being recorded open.
Until someone opens a WikiLeaks for scans, for body scans, and then you have like,
well,
Wiki porn.
That's what I mean. It's like,
porn.
You should know that this is potentially going to be saved. So, think about it before you walk through there, and you should have another option.
I have another theory on this, which is that it bothers dudes more than chicks. Because
we're used to it.
Right. People are always checking our stuff out. But right. One of the things is the way these images actually look is that with women, it's like, okay, there are your boobs. And then there's nothing really very exciting to see down south.
That's a good theory.
And your boobs are kind of out there all the time anyways, or else you got them all covered up.
Well, especially in the millimeter wave scan. I see where you're going with this.
Especially
dudes, Becky, your junk is like totally outlined and there's like a proportion of twigs to berries that nobody would normally know.
And so what if your big turn on as a dude is walking through the scanner?
Well, that's like that whole Spinal Tap thing too, right? Like
you the cucumber?
I'm saying this is a problem for dudes more than chicks.
Also a problem for cucumber smugglers.
That's true.
Be caught. Let's move to the modded Nintendo that lets you play Mario with your eyes. A group of engineers who go by the name Waterloo Labs in Austin, Texas. Austin's original name was Waterloo. I bet that's where they got that name. Have created a way of controlling an original Nintendo Entertainment System simply by moving their eyes around. And they've got a crazy good video up of them pasting on the controllers, plugging in the Super Mario Brothers 2, and having a problem with the cartridge and blowing
on
it.
Ben Affleck's cousin is playing.
And then they actually can control and jump and move through the game by just moving their eyes
you've got to be able to put your eyes, roll them into your head like you're...
Oh, I know. It's freaky watching them.
It's not
it?
Like little eye movements. It's like...
Yeah.
It's like
also to jump up, you have to take your eyes off the screen. So it's actually an impediment to your game control and awareness.
Yeah. Well, uh-huh. It's a start. It's a messy start. I'm just glad that they're going back to the kind of video game level that I could play. Because after Super Mario Brothers, it got too complicated for me.
Now, that's more of a testing of the voltages around your eyes to determine which way you're looking and interpret that into a...
Our eyes have voltages?
Yeah, there's...
They have polarity.
Yeah,
so
there's polarity.
The front is positive and the back is negative. So what the electrodes do is they pick up on that change in polarity, and that's how they know how to move the cursor. Pretty cool.
So maybe they can make that the control mechanism for the body scanner.
Uh-huh.
Keep your eyes forward.
Sorry, I got to check out your back one sec.
Hold on. they're taking this even farther, though, as far as reading the body's electrical impulses and creating the first human testing of a mind-controlled artificial limb.
So cool.
At Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory, the modular prosthetic limb will be fully controlled by sensors implanted in the brain.
This is so great because there's actually a lot of money here. So the Applied Physics Lab has been awarded a $34.5 million contract from DARPA. So, I mean, I think this is real research, real funding. This is exciting stuff.
This is thrilling. I just want to have a moment of thanks for the nerds who create the only good news that happens in all of the news. It's always things are being destroyed. And, like, to get to read, we found a way to make you feel in your arm and move it. It's profound. Found I actually had an accident where I have lost part of the feeling and part of my hand. I would be delighted to get it back.
And just to think about the idea that we live in an age where all of those science fiction movies where they're like, oh yeah, I just replaced my leg this week, and I'm back in the game,
right,
are coming true. It's crazy.
Sadly, probably because so many people have lost them.
Yeah,
because they have the body armor, so they don't die anymore, but the limbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about all the service people that's happening to.
We also have an interesting story from Ars Technica about a project that is allowing gamers to find protein structures better than an algorithm. Scientists have turned to games for a variety of reasons, obviously. This project called Foldit arose from an earlier distributed computing effort called Rosetta at Home. So if you've ever played Foldit at Home, SETI at Home, any of those screensavers that use your spare processing power to look through stuff, this is a variation on that where you can actually play a Foldit game and you go in and tweak the various proteins to try to manipulate them into the proper folding that they're looking for. And they found out that when people did this, they were much more likely to find the proteins they were looking for than just letting the algorithm search.
Makes sense. We have sort of addictive behavior around games. Why not harness it?
Yeah, and Heather, you were making an interesting point in the prep about the fact that we have a much better computer for this.
We're really good pattern mappers. We're just compulsive pattern matchers. And I just think that that's probably what they're playing off of. And I was talking about this actually Ben Severny the other day. He's doing some new work in data visualization. And he said he thought that it could bring us, help make the web more humanly connected. And because he said algorithms don't do it as well mm-hmm. as people do. They don't interpret the data to give you the image, but it takes you and your own human looking to be able to quickly grok it.
All right, we just got a few minutes left, so let's move to the lightning round of stories. Becky?
Folks who want to use their jailbroken iPhone on non-AT&T carriers, listen up. You now have an Unlock app, which it's a little funky, but it's basically repo666ultrasnow.com. It's the repository to look for in the Cydia App Store that will help you find a carrier for your jailbroken iPhone.
As of today, software vendors will have a deadline to fix vulnerabilities reported to them by Tipping Point's zero-day initiative, rather than allowing holes to remain unpatched indefinitely. Tipping Point is a clearinghouse that allows security researchers to communicate with the software vendors. Google has previously announced they'll abide by a 60-day turnaround, much shorter than the six-month deadline that Tipping Point is going to do.
An update on the story about Australia's decision to abolish software patents. Over 500 members of the Australian software industry are jumping on the bandwagon, signing a letter urging the government to push this legislation through in the hopes that it will spur innovation in that country and spurn the dreaded patent disputes that plague software development.
Back in May, Bloomberg and the Wall Street Journal reported that the FTC was possibly looking into Apple's anti-Adobe rules for app developers. Well, Wired submitted a Freedom of Information Act request to the FTC asking for the documentation in the case. The FTC said, yeah, we got a lot of material, but no, you can't have it. And that, in Wired's opinion, pretty much confirms that the FTC is indeed investigating Apple's mm-hmm. behavior towards Adobe, or they wouldn't have to say no to the request.
Mm-hmm. Brits, listen up. A huge botnet is hitting the UK this week. European security researchers are warning that the Zeus Trojan has very sophisticated methodology for harvesting online banking information from PCs in Great Britain. So make sure your British friends are running some security software.
And finally, Google has decided to let the Wave recede. They stated they no longer plan to continue developing Wave as a standalone product, but they will maintain the site at least through the end of the year and extend the technology for use in other Google projects. Plus, it's open source if you want to keep developing it yourself. On to the voicemail. Our voicemail today comes from Mike, and he has had some horrible travails with, guess who, AT&T.
AT&T, this is Mike calling from Guilford, New York. And I wanted to tell you about AT&T. This $15 a month data plan that they've got going is unusable, and they actually told me so. What happened is we bought my wife an iPhone over the weekend. The first day that we had it, it downloaded 40 megs of the 200 in one day, most of which was spent under Wi-Fi. We called them to find out what was up. And we were told explicitly by three different people that people with the iPhone should not use the $200 or 200 meg a month plan because, in their words, the iPhone does too much stuff all of the time. So when Steve Jobs talked about it on stage, I heard iPhone users only use the 200 megs a month. The current marketing says smartphone users, and, of course, AT&T employees, after I bought the phone, are now telling me that the iPhone is not part of that category, that it uses too much data, you should only use the 2 gig plan. Very frustrating, and I wanted you to know. Thanks a lot.
So, not terribly surprising, but a big change where they were saying, oh yeah, nobody's going to use more than this anyway. So that's a great plan for most people.
It's the whole reason they went to the off the all-you-can-eat thing anyway in the first place.
I think it's untrained or improperly trained computer or customer service representatives here, because there are tips you could give people to reduce the data usage.
Do you think to make that plan really feasible?
Well, if you're on that plan and they're like, oh yeah, don't even do that plan, just you know, that's just like an upselling tactic. Actually helping people out would be like, oh, well, if you're on that plan and you have this sort of behavior, you might want to turn off, you know, automatic email checking. You might want to do this and that.
AT&T were already good at helping you out, they've had to get to this point where they got rid of sort of one price fits all data, which is the reason I'm not on AT&T now.
Yeah, they have this page up on their website. They could just print it out.
You know, we did get a lot of feedback about this when we originally talked about the story. And Tom, you and I compared our data usage, and we were under the 2 meg limit. But the, what was it, 200? Man, I'm having a brain fart. We were under the limit for the lower cost tier. But basically, we had lots of feedback from viewers who said, that's because we're always in Wi-Fi networks. If you're someone who works on the road or you're out and about, you're using that 3G data plan like mad. So stick with the all you can eat. And I think everybody's figuring this out, you know, as they get their bills rolling in. So it's not pretty for everybody.
All right. Finishing up with an email to TNT@twit.tv. Jeff wrote in and said, you know, in reference to Becky's question at the end of the show about Radar O'Reilly, Tom mentioned that he was the only actor or character to be in all three variations of MASH, the movie, the television show, and the spinoff After MASH. Tom, I hate to tell you this. You are wrong. He was not in After MASH. But according to Wikipedia, there was another spinoff called Walter, which did star Gary Berghoff. Actually, Jeff, while he wasn't a regular cast member in After MASH, he was in two or three episodes of After MASH. So he still fits the variant, but I didn't know anything about Walter. I missed this. So this has nothing to do with tech, but I'm very excited. Now Gary Berghoff has been in four variations of MASH.
And I'll have you guys know, I did double check IMDb just in case Tom was smoking crack on this After MASH thing. And he is actually right.
He is smoking crack, but not on the After MASH thing.
That's right.
Heather Gold, thanks so much for being on the show. I'm a big fan, and I'm really happy you're on the show.
You're so sweet. I really appreciate all your support. You helped one of the first crowdsourced paid-for shows ever done.
My pleasure.
2008 South by Southwest show.
That was a really fun show.
It was great. It was a Jonathan Colton show. I recommend looking up some of the video. I'll be dropping some more, doing some. I don't have the great setup y'all have, but I'll be dropping all of my old episodes by this fall.
And where can folks find all the stuff that you do?
You can get most stuff through heathergold.com. If you want to watch TumbleVision, that's at TumbleVision.tv. And all the other shows, I do a lot of different shows. So the Heather Gold show will be coming back, I'm hoping, this fall. And I have many years of tapes, including that show with Ev Williams and Jonathan Colton and a lot of other great people at South by Southwest. So can't wait to get those out to you. Anyone wants to help with that, let me know. I'm like, remember when Leo was starting and on his own, he's like, hey, I think I'll put out a, I'm back there. I'm like, you know, still in the do-it-yourself broadcasting trip.
Excellent. You can find more about everything we talk about on the show at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, TNT@twit.tv, and you can give us a call and leave us a message, 260-TNT-SHOW. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye, Becky. I like the...